the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Buddy! Dude, many buddies.
That man eats for free.
Dude.
Listen.
Buddy!
I made a promise last night.
Oh, my God,
and
buddy.
I'm gonna keep it, even though I know it's going to make me just nuts. But I'm going to keep my promise. And I wonder who wants to make this promise along with me. Buddy, Mr. Heald, wherever you are, Minnesota, wherever you are listening right now, I hear Mark Willard promise to never let you frustrate me ever again.
Ever?
I am willing
forever,
to.
Ever?
Forever, ever. The Buddy Heald experience this year, which started out so amazing.
Amazing.
Had all of us asking everyone in Sacramento, why are y'all so nuts about Buddy Heald?
Don't you get it?
He's wonderful. Why are you pulling hair out of the sides of your heads? And then we discovered why. But then it led to this. And today, I am willing forevermore to deal with the dribbling out of bounds, to deal with the bad passes, to deal with the awkward smiles at the wrong time, to deal with all of it. Where if it comes again, I kind of expect that it will, and I am okay with it. You cemented yourself as a warrior last night, and that will never, ever change.
Nope, never. It's a Game 7 win on the road, and Buddy did something that he's only done 11 times in 725 games, which is score 33 points, and you needed probably not every last one of them, but if you look at the first half and what he did, he was the reason why you had the lead.
No doubt.
He was the reason why you were able to go into the third quarter and feel a little bit more confident about where you were going to be as a team. And Buddy was spectacular. And with every shot he made, it just got to be more and more like amazing. And, you know, Steph Curry was being harassed and guarded, and Draymond was good early. And then, you know, Draymond went cold and Jimmy couldn't score, and all of the rest of the role players, it was like pods. And Moses Moody, he needs a GPS for the basket.
Moses, like, I love Moses Moody. I mean, at least Pods was just off. You're like, oh, that right in and out, whatever,
yeah,
off the back iron.
Yeah.
You're not locked in. Your shot's not hitting tonight. Moses, I'm like, well, that was in the general direction of the hoop,
right?
Like, good Lord. But you know, Moses has done really well this year of doing other things on the court. When the shot's not falling. And as we just detailed, the Warriors, they kind of just need one. They just need someone else to knock down shots. And obviously, Buddy did it at an unbelievable clip last night. And so here we are, on to round two. Few things that we want to throw out there, because I really do get excited to hear how people sort of consume a night like last night. So what's your Game 7 story? 888-957-9570. And then, I also think it's a great day for, like, okay, look back at the series as a whole. And what's your takeaway? Nobody's coming on the show today except for you. That's it. Just you. 888-957-9570. We will take your calls now. We will take your calls in the 3 o'clock hour. How about the 4 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour? We are here for you and your response all afternoon long. 888-957-9570. What's your Game 7 story? And what's your takeaway? Look back on this one. I got one for you. But what's your takeaway? When you look back on the 7 games, what grabs attention first as your takeaway?
Well, the word that I don't want to use is an L word, because they weren't that. But they were Yeah, open up. They were not.
Cheers.
They were not lucky to win, but they things I think were of a fortunate nature, and they made their own good fortune.
Interesting.
But if you look at the series in totality, it was a very even, tight, close series. And I think about like when it came down to the games that really mattered, and I think about Game 4, one of the best games I've ever been to, and the Warriors won that game.
Yep.
Houston got down to the final 3 or 4 minutes, and they made 3 or 4 mistakes, and the Warriors didn't, and the Warriors won. So it's not to say the Warriors were lucky, but this series, to me, came down to Game 4. Like, Game 5, fine. You went to Houston.
Yeah, Game 5
you were gonna, hey, you're going to lose that.
Yep.
Game 6, wow, Houston was awesome.
They were fantastic.
They were great, and you lost, and then you got to Game 7, and you won the game. So for me, it's not that the Warriors got lucky. They didn't, but you got down to the moments where the series was going to be in the balance, and you had more experience, and you had more execution, and you won the tight moments.
Don't disagree at all, but I'm fascinated that your mind even goes to that idea. Okay, fine, not lucky, fortunate, whatever. Let me throw something at you. This didn't even really occur to me until today, because you're in it. We're in it. We're fans. We're watching this thing. It's a whole journey of back and forth and ups and downs and all of this. And it never really occurred to me until this morning. What adversity did the Rockets face in this series?
Well, they were down 3-1.
Okay, but that's right? Like not...
Is that not adversity?
Well,
like,
I mean... But
only 4% of teams come back from that.
You could look at it that way, but that's... You arrived there because you lost. I mean sort of like the things that are maybe a wee bit out of your control. What adversity did the Rockets face in this series? I would argue it's about as little as a team could face the entire series. They had no injuries. They had, I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of things that I don't know about. I'm not going to act like I know, right? Amen Thompson, he had a calf lockup at a pretty bad time, actually. Yeah. Last night, he let Steph Curry just walk over to the right side of the wing and hit what eventually felt like a dagger three at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So there are little things, but what if I remind everybody that Jimmy Butler essentially missed 2 basketball games? What if I remind everybody that Steph Curry had a golf ball in his right hand? What if I remind everybody that Pods got sick and essentially was a non-factor, non-playable for a game? Same with GP2. What if I remind everybody that Houston started with home court advantage in this series and finished with it as well? Now, there are other things that I could add in there that aren't, quote, out of your control, because the Warriors made their own bad luck here, such as Draymond Green having 6 technical fouls in 7 basketball games. That's largely on him. I think he had a tech in every game after game 1. So all of these things happened in the series, and they still won. They still won. So I'm not even, like, I don't argue anything that you just said. I'll buy all of that. But the Houston Rockets had no injuries. Like, the biggest adversity they faced was in game 6, Dylan Brooks got in foul trouble and had to sit out for most of the game. All right, so there's that. But all, I would argue, all of the major out-of-your-hands adversity in this series kind of got directed at the Golden State Warriors in a series where they did not have home court advantage, and they still won. So to me, that's probably my biggest takeaway, because one thing that we never, ever forget with the Golden State Warriors, the mettle of this team is just, it's insane. It is absolutely otherworldly, the mental strength that this team continues to show year in and year out.
And it took Buddy Hield having a 33-point performance to get it done.
Yep.
So to think that an older team would not face that adversity, you know, whether it's Steph Curry, 37, with a thumb that is, you know, flaring up, and Jimmy Butler with a tailbone, and Draymond Green, who is, you know, heating pads and icing up every time he goes off the floor. These are things that you would expect in terms of adversity.
Yep. To a degree, I mean, I don't look at Jimmy Butler's injury and go, well, that's because of age. Like, that would have snapped just about anybody's tailbone.
Yep.
That was a hell of a fall. But anyway, we would love to hear from you. You look back on the 7 games now. What's the takeaway? Want to share a Game 7 story? Let's ride. 888-957-9570. It is a massive day. The Warriors are moving on to round two, and we want to hear from you all afternoon long. We're taking your calls right now. We are sponsored by Safeway, and this is Willard and Dibs.
Jabari Smith, he'll shoot it, no good, and the rebound to Looney, to Buddy Hield. He's got 3 seconds, he's got two, from half court, pulls up for a three, it's good! Buddy Hield knocks one in from midcourt at the buzzer!
Buddy gets paid a lot of money to play at a high level. Buddy was Buddy tonight. Good for you, Buddy.
Hey, Aries, it's Buddy Hield. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
Look, I don't pocket check anybody.
Me either.
That's a hell of a statement by Jimmy Butler. To say that Buddy Hield makes a lot of money.
Dude.
Jimmy?
What are you doing?
I think Buddy makes Buddy makes a dollar for every five or six that you make.
Major.
Is it
try
more?
Every 50.
Well, no.
Or every 10. Every 10.
No, Buddy no. makes... Buddy doesn't makes like 8, doesn't he?
And Jimmy makes 48.
Yeah.
Next year, it's 9 and 54.
Right, next year.
And then it's 9.7 and 56.
No, but I think...
So it keeps getting bigger.
Yes, it does.
But for this year, it's about 1 and 6.
Yeah.
If that's what you said. Maybe,
five
or 1 and 5. Yeah,
yeah. But not wrong.
Buddy makes a lot of money.
But he does. Yes, but he makes $8 million a year. It's a very good salary.
If he would have pocket-checked Braxton Key, that would have been a little bit more alarming.
He makes less money.
Yes.
To miss layups for the Golden State Warriors.
Boy,
Dude, what a night. That was, like, on the gratifying meter, wow. That one went down nice and smooth last night. Nice and smooth. Should we do one more Şengün, arms fully up,
oh boy,
with palms up? Should we do that and run around the room like he looks like a giraffe.
Well, and he's got that little black eye too, which is kind of adorable. And I know getting a black eye is not that fun, but he's got that little mouse under his eye. And every time he goes up and Draymond jumps straight up. Legal. And denies him, and Şengün goes full on.
Arms straight up in the air and bounces down to the other end of the floor.
The Turkish tantrum.
I like that.
Yep.
I'm about done with it.
Just 10 seconds on Şengün.
Go for it.
Phenomenal. He's so good.
He's a really good player.
Really good.
However, one other lasting image for me, and then we're going to go to the phones. We see you starting to line up. 888-957-9570. What's your Game 7 story? Look back on the series. What's your takeaway? 888-957-9570. We know that Steph Curry is the petty king. And if anybody thinks that outfit that he wore in the press conference yesterday was not a direct shot across the bow of the Houston Rockets, I think you're wrong.
With the sunglasses?
Go back to the Game 6 press conference for the Rockets and look at the way Dylan Brooks, and I learned this because I got stuck sitting next to Rocket fans on Friday night.
Oh, wow.
Şengün is called Alpy.
Yeah.
That's what we call him in Houston. Let's go, Alpy! I'm like, oh my God, you just made him even more annoying. But anyway, their press conference, these two dudes sat up there with none of the buttons buttoned on their shirt, chains everywhere, and bright, I'm going clubbing in Miami shades. Do you. Dress however the hell you want. But I've watched enough Steph Curry press conferences to know that that's not usually the way Steph rolls. But he did yesterday, and I put me on the side of the fence of that was a direct shot at the Rockets.
Well, have we ever seen him wear sunglasses in a press conference before?
Pretty rare.
Very rare.
If ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, direct shot, no doubt. And he did it in their press room. I know they have different press rooms for each team. But, yeah, he's the petty king for a reason.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right. Let's go out to Jonathan in the city to lead us off. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. Man, what a game. I honestly thought they wouldn't have the legs. I mean, I didn't doubt that they have that in the bag. But I didn't thought they're going to have the energy and the legs to do what they need to do. First, I want to highlight number 7 for game 7. That's a very important number. Only 7 turnovers, man. They don't get it done by not having a clean game, almost clean game. That was superb. And number 2, I want to highlight Mr. Reliable, just always ready, Kevon Looney. He was big time in the middle. He defended Shane Goon 2-3 times. You know, he didn't let Shane Goon back him down to get it to his sweet spot. Shane Goon shot 2-3 times, and he hit the front of the rim instead of a bucket. And also, he neutralized what was beginning to look like a very dense black hole. You know, Kevon Looney was like that cork that plugged that hole. All of a sudden, he was a non-factor in the middle. Thank you, Kevon Looney, for another superb performance when you were called upon. And also, last but not the least, what a game for the ages. This guy stamped himself in the Golden State Warriors history books. 33 points. What an efficient night. He was a total sniper. 12 out of 15, 9 beyond the arc, and he'll be forever known as Game 7. Hey, buddy!
Thank you, Jonathan. Hey, buddy! Oh, my gosh. What an unbelievable performance.
Only 2 players have ever made more threes in a playoff game than Buddy Hield.
Only 2 players have ever made more threes in a playoff game than Buddy Hield.
And I'll give you a clue. Well, one of them is not Steph Curry.
Right. One of them is Klay Thompson.
Correct. And the other one did it twice.
The other one did it twice?
Yep.
Can you give me like a somewhat general recency statement? Like,
he's still playing.
Oh, he's still playing.
Yeah. And his nickname is Currency.
Currency?
Currency!
I don't know the person who has Currency as their nickname.
Grandy?
I don't know this one. Who is that?
Grandy knows.
Grandy, who is it?
Are you talking about Dame Dalla?
Cha-ching!
I've never heard him called Currency.
Dame Dollar. Is Currency.
Oh, I thought
his
you
nickname
were saying his...
is Currency.
I took that as
nickname.
His... But listen to me. Hear it a different way.
Steph Currency?
His nickname is Currency. So
his
I thought
nickname...
his nickname was Currency.
If
I'm like,
nickname,
I don't know who that
like,
is.
If his nickname was Euro,
no,
that's
get,
also currency.
I get what you're saying now.
If his nickname was Drachma,
but would you
that's currency.
Acknowledge the way that I heard
acknowledge it.
It's like, yeah,
I would have felt better if you would have buzzed him first before I gave you the ding. But
you also said one of them is not Steph, so I thought maybe the other one was Steph.
No.
It's another good point. I think you need to work on your delivery. It's
I
a
think
little...
you both need to... And I won't say it, but you know where I'm going.
You could have said neither of them are Steph.
Yeah, that would have been a little more clear. What about this? Most made threes in a game 7 ever? Buddy holds that record now with who?
Oh, it's tied?
Uh-huh.
Someone else had 9?
Yeah. Happened in the playoffs last year.
Oh, I was going to guess Ray Allen, but that's not last year. It happened in the playoffs last year?
Yep.
Ooh, that's a fun one. It happened in the play. Yeah,
thank you, Lucas. Give him a clue.
Jamal Murray. Is it Jamal Murray?
No. The clue I will give you is he's a former Warrior.
He's a former Warrior.
Ian Clark.
I mean,
Lucas.
Ty Jerome. No, it's not Ty Jerome. He's a former Warrior. Playoffs last year. Good Lord.
It's gotta be. Restaurant quality.
Is it? Dante DiVincenzo. Good guess. There it is. Dante DiVincenzo. I love Dante DiVincenzo, so I'm going to have to do some work by tomorrow night to get out of my love with Dante DiVincenzo.
Well.
Going to have to leave that. You're going to have to leave that at the front door.
Tomorrow we can do the full Minnesota deep dive, and I've been fighting it all day, like trying to not get too far down the road of, oh my God, Minnesota.
Right.
Prediction, series, game one, this, that. Right now I'm still in the mode of, yesterday was everything that you want in sports and more.
100%.
It was absolute amazing. And the fact that it was Buddy Hield who came out and did what he did, that to me is like sports in a nutshell. I don't know if it's Cody Ross or if it's like what the comp is for a player of that ilk. And it's not to disrespect Buddy Hield, but he's not Lincecum or Kane or Bumgarner.
No.
This was like oh my God, that guy did that thing.
I like
it's
your comp.
It's not even Pablo.
No, I like your comp. It is, yeah, it is kind of a Cody Ross type of a thing where like it'll go down in the ages as something. Actually, you want to know who the best comp I heard? Someone hit me and said that this was Barry Zito. Barry Zito's performance for the Giants. The only difference is Buddy does not make $126 million.
And he was a Cy Young Award winner.
Right, but he was very
unexpected.
Disappointing.
Yep. Yep.
His whole career with the Giants was very disappointing. And then one game, everyone's like, never mind, we forgive you for everything.
Yeah, it's good.
So from that perspective, this is different because it was only 1 year and he's not a huge free agent contract and all that. But yeah, that was the all is forgiven game for Buddy Hield for me.
No doubt.
100%.
No doubt. And not that he needed to be
forgiven
because
right.
He was brought in to basically be this, which is, oh my God, you're amazing. Oh, stop shooting. Oh, wait, you're great again. Oh, please take him out. And then you watch that game and, you know, Steph Curry was being strangled and Jimmy Butler was kind of laying in the weeds and Draymond Green was like shooting all the time. It's like, yeah, Draymond, no Draymond. And the rest of the bit players were like, oh my God, game seven? I can't do this.
Totally.
And then Buddy's like, wop, wop, wop.
Yeah, but the Rockets were largely like that as well.
Fair. Yep.
I thought Thompson was just brilliant.
Amazing, yeah.
He is brilliant. And I thought, you know, Şengün is a very, very good player, and he's doing things closer to the basket. Jalen Green is going to go through an offseason that's similar to what Jonathan Kuminga has experienced here last offseason, where there's just that's not a shot at Jalen, but there's going to be a lot of debate. And Jalen is going to be the one that many Houston fans decide that's who we need to use as trade bait to go get a veteran who can come in here and be the leading scorer and get us over the top. Like, I think you're going to see a lot of rumors about Jalen Green and a couple other pieces and a couple draft picks for Kevin Durant. I think you're going to see that all for the whole month of June,
right,
until we get to July.
For sure. And, I mean, the Warriors could have done that with Kuminga had they signed him, because Jalen Green signed for 3 years and 106, which means his $38 million a year contract becomes attractive.
Absolutely.
As a piece that you can get back. You can get a player back for that much money. And I don't want to get too far into the Kuminga offseason question, but like that contract in a sign and trade is not going to be as big as the Jalen Green one.
No, no question about it. No, the Kuminga one, that's a complex situation that's developing because he's not playing very much. But that's for a different day. David in the city here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, David. What's going on?
Nothing much. Waiting here. Glad to be on. And, I approached this game. I'm 82 years old, and I've been a native of San Francisco, so I've been with the Warriors since they arrived here in 62. So I've seen a lot, and I have to be honest that last night I was pretty pessimistic before the game.
Yep.
Partly because the Warrior wins seem to be narrow wins, whereas the Houston wins, seem to be significantly stronger. Now, I know this may be a little bit sick, but if they were going to lose last night, I was almost, you know, I would almost feel, well, at least they won't have to have Buddy Hield next year. I'll probably get rid of. I mean, the guy didn't score a point in two of the games. And then all of a sudden, he gets on the floor here, and I have to confess that after the fifth three-pointer went in, I had the sense maybe that somebody had slipped me some LSD, and I was just hallucinating.
Yeah,
but he kept doing it, and so what can I say? I'll give you another week, buddy, at least.
I'm giving him more than another week. David, did you know that Buddy Hield, if he wants to be, is under contract with the Warriors for three more years after this one?
If he wants to be.
Well,
In other words,
he's under contract for two more years, and then there's a player option for the third year at $10 million. So I'd get ready for more Buddy if I were you, David.
Well, I don't have much choice. Do I?
No, you don't. You don't. David, thank you so much for calling. That was That was a fun conversation. I do want to say this, though. I don't want this conversation to head into a spot where it sounds like Buddy was great last night, but he was crap for the rest of the series. That's not true.
No.
That's not true. Yes, he had a couple games, and this is the Buddy Hield experience. You go out there.
Right, right.
We know this. Steve puts him out there. If he misses his first two or three shots, okay, maybe it's not your night. Let's go with someone else.
That's game one and game two.
Yeah, but don't forget, we have a game where Steve Kerr already came out right after the game in the locker room and said Buddy Hield set the tone defensively. He was instrumental in game three with no Jimmy Butler.
Right.
In a game that the Warriors shockingly went out there and won. I'm going to look back on this series, all things considered, as a very good series for Buddy Hield.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good.
Well, it's very good because of game seven.
Yes.
If you look
but it wasn't embarrassing before that.
No, but in four of the games, he scored 11 total points, 2, 5, 4, and 0. And in those games, they went 1-3.
Yeah.
And it's not to blame him, but you're right about Steve Kerr. Game one, 2 points, 15 minutes, it's not your night. Game two, 5 points, 15 minutes, it's not your night. Game five, 4 points, 18 minutes, it's not your night.
Well, that was no one's night. Don't forget that. Game five was no one's night in a Warrior uniform.
Game six, 0 for 4, 0 for 4, no points, yep. 16 minutes, it's not your night.
Right.
Game seven, hey, you know what, buddy? It's your night.
It's your night.
And that's the beauty of Buddy Hield, and we've talked about this a lot on our show. And if you look at his career and his game log, he played 84 games last year, which is mostly impossible. He played 82 this year. He's a guy who shows up, where are my sneakers, where's my uniform, and I'm going to do Buddy things. And if it's good Buddy, I play. And if it's bad Buddy, okay, I'm still going to be smiling on the bench. It's fine.
I also think, I mean, as much as last night is the game that everyone will remember, last night did not have the shot that I will remember from Buddy Hield in this series. The shot that
game
I will
remember.
Game four.
Game four,
with
bro.
With Şengün in his face, falling away, three-point range, a shot, the classic no, yes shot,
yeah.
Where you're like, that's not a good shot. That's not a good, it went in, that's a great shot. And it was at a huge moment. So, look, that's the life of a streaky three-point shooter. All I can ask for from Buddy Hield is keep taking good looks when they're open. And what we saw in this series was really good defensive effort. He's not going to be a great defender, but on nights he did affect the game on the defensive end last night too. He was good on both sides of the ball last yep. night. So if you're going to get that from Buddy Hield, I'm willing to ride the I'm cold tonight, I missed shots tonight. Like, everybody's going to have those. Steph had those in this series. So why wouldn't we ride that train with Buddy, knowing that at least two or three times in a long series, you're going to get the opposite. I mean, the game's leading scorer last night in a game seven right. on the road.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
In game three at home.
Yeah.
You talked about two or three times a series. Game three at home, he had 17 on 5 of 11 from deep, and that's what you want. He took no free throws in the series, which, I mean, honestly.
Right, he's not.
Did they even take a free throw last night?
Nope.
As a team?
Nope, and I think,
as a team, they only took like 5 or 6.
Buddy did not, and I think, Grandy, maybe you have this. I feel like Buddy set a record last night. It was something along the lines of first player in a game seven to score over 30 without a free throw.
Right.
It was something like that. I'll try to look it up.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I saw it last night. It was something along those lines. Most points scored in a game seven without a free throw. 33 points with none from the free throw line.
Right, and the team shot 9 free throws.
Wow.
And, you know, a few of those were late when it was like desperation foul mode.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were able to win that game in that way, and I thought that the whistle was very much like 1993, like, unless somebody's bleeding,
yeah,
we're not calling it.
They let him play, but you'd expect that with the way they've officiated all of the playoffs, and then that this is a game seven. You knew it was going to be yep. a let him play game. And I found myself, I would say, of all playoff games I've watched so far, I was the least affected and frustrated by the officiating last night of all of them. I thought that was it was the number one game of, like, I didn't even notice the refs last night.
Yeah, yeah.
So, great. They did a great job, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at either end of the floor, and you know, there was a couple of times where I was like, "That's a foul."
Well, always.
And
oh, I mean, there's never been a basketball game where you don't have that,
right? But it was both ends, and they called 14 fouls apiece, so they didn't really call that many fouls. The average in the regular year was 38. They called 28 last night, so I thought that there were a few where, and Şengün with that facial expression,
oh, the goon,
he clashes into Draymond, and it's immediately like, you know, the Turkish,
you know, there's so many guys who complain to refs now, and the Warriors have plenty of them too. The one thing that gets me, and this is Şengün, this is Luka, there are certain players who complain on all of the plays.
Oh yeah,
there are times where it's like, okay, I'm just gonna make up a scenario, but you have a teammate who hucks the ball 5 feet over your head into the fifth row. And he will turn and look at the refs and put his palms up. I'm like, what could you possibly even be saying in this moment? I cannot remember a possession where Şengün did not at least flash a look at the ref after it was over.
Yeah.
Every single time down. And I know in a 7-game series, you're always annoyed by the opponent. Believe you me, I felt the Houston audience when Draymond got fouled and then decided to use it as an opportunity to whack Van Vliet in the face. And everybody there, because they're sick of it.
Eh,
they're sick of Draymond. And we're sick of Şengün.
Yep.
I'm sick of you. I'm sick of looking at your facial expressions. I'm sick of looking at your giraffe arms that are up when absolutely nothing happened. And I do get a little extra annoyed when it is a player like him or Luka, where I'm like, dude, James Harden, you guys are good players. You're good players.
Just play.
Just play. At least some of the time. I get it. You're going to talk to the refs. The Warriors have plenty of ref talkers too. I get it. But can you take a play off every now and again with the whole ref thing when it's over? Just once in a while. I would love it for everybody's sanity.
Oh, yeah. And so you were saying that Draymond has 6 techs?
I thought he did. Didn't he have one in every
game?
I'll
look it up. I thought it might have been 5, but the bigger issue is as we get deeper into Minnesota, and one of his dance partners is going to be in the series.
Gobert.
Yeah, right. And he may want to do a little bit of a slow dance.
He'll say hi to him tomorrow night, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, and I'll get that for you. You go to the phones, and I'll give you the exact number on when you get suspended in the offs.
My memory says that Draymond got 1 tech in all the games, game 2 through 7. I might be wrong.
You're probably playing the percentages.
I thought he got one in every game. He did not get one in game 1. But I thought he got one in every game after that.
And last night he got one where I thought that would have been a flagrant because he just like hauled off and elbowed a guy in the face. But that's a tech because it happened after a foul?
No, it was. Okay. That was one of those where you, and I know what Draymond was trying to say.
Right.
His arms are in a forward motion because he's trying to pass a ball. And Van Vliet hits him on the wrist. Well, his arms are already in a forward motion. And that's where he clips Van Vliet. Now, upon replay, you're like, well, you kind of embellished that a little bit, which is what Draymond does. It's what he does. I thought that was accurately called. It was still a foul on Van Vliet, but it was also an action that needed to be addressed by Draymond. I thought that was fair. I thought that was
totally fair.
Yeah. All right. 888-957-9570. All right. So Matt and Kenny and Scott and another Scott and Jim, here we come. Stay right where you are. We're going all your calls over the next 3 hours of our lives. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibbs.